honor of the reading of God's word, I'm going to read all of Revelation chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, follow along with me, or your iPads, your iPhones, your tablets, or anything that has the scriptures on them. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Pray with me. Father, we are so humbled when we come to your word, God. We thank you that your word speaks to us today. And so I pray, God, that your spirit would fill us, it would control us, that we would understand what you have to say to us through your word. I pray that you would speak your word through your servant, Mike. I pray that your word would speak to us where we are at, and you would bring about change and transformation, repentance. May we rejoice in who you are and rejoice in what you've done. Father, may you use us to be people who share and live your glorious gospel for your kingdom's sake. And we ask this all because of what you have done for us in Jesus. Amen.
Josh knows me. I'd probably knock that thing over or something so I'd get tangled up in it. So this evening, if you guys could just be praying for me while I'm preaching. In my pride, God is really revealing a lot to me. This past week has been crazy. It's crazy for Santa Rosa Bible Church. There's been many deaths. There's been many people we've lost, many people we love. It's been hard. In that, I got it. We have Pastor Chris's sister who passed away on Thursday, and I emailed Pastor Chris and said, hey, Pastor Chris, you know, I'd love to preach Sunday evening if you need me. And he emailed me back and said, don't worry about it, I got it taken care of. I'll be good. And so when I got that email, I kind of did the old, woohoo, I don't have to preach, because my entire weekend was just jam-packed full of preaching. I went from one speaking engagement to the next, and now I'm here. And so I literally am just drained right now. I am just completely drained. So if you guys would be preaching for me, that God's word would just go forth, and it would just show the greatness and power of God through a weak servant. And that's all I am. May my name perish and his live forever. So as we look at Revelation, like Josh was saying, Pastor Chris was supposed to preach Revelation 1, 9 through 20 tonight, and he preached that this morning. And like I said, I've been going from one speaking engagement to the next and literally started looking at this passage of Scripture at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. The furthest I had gotten on the passage was I wrote Revelation on a piece of paper in the top corner. I didn't even get to Revelation 1. I just put Revelation because that's where I knew where I was going. And my daughter decided that it would be a good menu for her pizza restaurant that she's opening up. So if I start talking about the power of pepperoni, please excuse me. But I am humbled. I am humbled. I think of the way Spurgeon accepted Jesus Christ. You ever hear this story? It's a killer story. It's a great story. He's walking through with his cousin, and it's snowing, and it's snowing so hard that people can't get to church. And so they want to go listen to this famous preacher. And they're walking in the snow, and Spurgeon finally looks at his cousin and is like, man, let's just tuck into this little church here and call it quits. You know, we'll just listen to this guy. We don't have to listen to him. So his cousin goes, okay, that's fine. And the preacher didn't even show up because it was snowing so hard he couldn't get to the church. And so Spurgeon sat in the back row and he's listening to this preacher. And to his own words, he said this, the man is so stupid, he could only repeat the word of God. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But God so used those words to save Charles Spurgeon that day. And I believe one of the greatest preachers who has ever lived came through a bad sermon. So I pray that God would humble me in this situation for a guy who wants to be prepared and ready to preach God's word, and I should be, and not handling the word at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So as we open up Revelation, and as I was coming up, Spurgeon also used to, before every single message, he would say this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. 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 Because the Holy Spirit could work even through a broken, tired guy like me. And I don't know what it is about Saturday night, but my kids just don't sleep. They just don't sleep. I think there's an alarm clock that goes off in their head. Daddy has to preach tomorrow. We're not sleeping. We're having a party all night long. And one of them's up. And I'm sleeping out on the couch with him last night. And I'm just exhausted. But any time I get to open up God's word and proclaim his goodness, it's a great day. It's a great day. So please, if you'll turn with me to Revelation 1. We're going to be looking at the first 7 verses. Pastor Chris focused mainly on the last 2/3 of this chapter, and I want to focus on the first third of it. And it starts off with the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything better that this church needs right now than seeing Jesus Christ. Nothing. My office is right on the other side of this wall. It seemed like every time the phone rang, someone was dying or hurt. It seemed like something bad was happening. My phone is ringing with adultery, with divorce. That's my week. And John comes in and he says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need this today, don't we? We need this every day. This isn't a once-a-day thing. This is every day of our lives. We need this. I went to the beach today. My wife doesn't even know this. But I went to the beach today just to clear my head, just to pray and meditate on God's word as I was coming in and preparing for today. And it was foggy. This fog was just covering the entire side of the ocean. You couldn't see hardly the water. You saw the waters breaking a little bit. And as I was leaving, the fog just kind of parted. And that's the vision that we see here. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ. It's as if we had these curtains and we pulled them back and Jesus Christ was standing on the other side of them and we got to see him. That's what's here. The revelation of Jesus Christ. What a great message to be able to deliver. We need to see Jesus Christ. The world around us needs to see Jesus Christ today. When I was newly married, Leslie and I think I went to Safeway and got something, some sandwiches. So they were. And I got the sandwiches and I ordered my salami sandwich and I ordered Leslie's sandwich. And the girl behind the counter started flirting with me a little bit. So I went, all right, I still got it, you know? And this girl was talking to me and I said, well, whatever. I go to pay and I go to swipe my card and she said, this sandwich, it's on me. He gave it to me. I took it and I said, awesome, I got a sandwich. I went home, honey, look, someone still thinks I'm hot stuff, you know? And come to find out that every seventh sandwich you buy, you get that seventh one free. There was nothing special about me. It was revealed to me that I wasn't hot stuff. My wife still thinks I am, right, babe? But this sandwich was not free. It was paid for over time and given that this was revealed to me that I just had received a free sandwich like everyone else. We get to see something of Jesus Christ as great and grand and glorious. We're going to mainly be focusing on verses 5, 6, and 7, and I want us to see five things of Jesus Christ today. I want to see the reliable witness, the risen Lord, the reigning sovereign, the redeeming Savior, and the returning King. What a great message to deliver to a church, right? We get to see the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in verse 4, we see John to the seven churches that are in Asia. John is the author here. Many people say that he's not. It says in verse 1 that John is the author also. We see in verse 9 that John is the author. Time and time again, people are denying the word of God. They are saying that it is not true, that they are taking what they want and they're leaving the rest. I've heard of people cutting up the scriptures and taking what they like and making their own Bible. All they're doing is not revealing God, they're revealing for who they really are. They're revealing that they are God in their own minds. John is the author of Revelation because that is what the Word of God says. John's an old man on Patmos. He loved Jesus. We see in the book of Acts that he was just absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ. We see he and Peter going up to the temple to worship God, and they see a man who's lame, and Peter comes and heals him. And they tell the people, the religious leaders tell Peter and John, don't preach Jesus Christ anymore. Don't do it. And they continue on, and they get beaten. They continue on, they go to jail. He does this all of his life. And people are continually trying to stop him from preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. What I love about John is the way he starts off every single one of his books. I love in the Gospel of John, it says this in the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We'd also see in 1 John, it says this, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. It seems like John can't contain himself. It seems like John just overflows with Jesus. And Revelation is the same. He just keeps talking about Jesus. We see who he's writing to here. It says, to the seven churches that are in Asia. John is writing, and over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking about and preaching about these seven churches. I'm excited. I get to preach Smyrna and Sardis. I'm really looking forward to Smyrna in these coming weeks. In the next, I think Josh is preaching next week. I'm preaching the week after that. I'm really looking forward to this passage. And he's writing to these churches. It's modern-day Turkey. And he has something to tell these churches. He has concerns with them. He commends them for some things. There's some churches that are just flat-out bad, and he has nothing good to say to them. But every single time in every one of these churches, he shows them who he is. But unfortunately, I don't think they took the warning. Because you see, in modern-day Turkey, where these churches are today, there are 74 million people in Turkey. Only 3,500 of them are Christians, making it one of the least churched places on the face of the earth. We should take this as a warning. God speaks seriously to some of these churches. He warns them. He says, I will come and extinguish you. But this should also bring us comfort, that Jesus Christ is building his church, right? He's the one that builds his church. I pastored a church called Tree of Life Fellowship. When I got there, there were a handful of people all over the age of 70. You know what they told me? Mike, if you can't revive this church, then no one can. You know how horrible that is? Think about that. They're putting their faith and trust in me to revive a church. I told them, if I'm crossing a street and get hit by a car, Jesus Christ Church will survive. There's nothing that I could do, positive or negative, to destroy the church. And trust me, men have tried. You could look into the Dark Ages. That's why they call them the Dark Ages. And see time and time again where people are just being destroyed. And it seems like the church is extinguished. And God rises up, a man of God, for a short time. And he uses that man. And that man dies. And he rises up another man, and that man dies. And he rises up another man, and that man dies. But the same thing is consistent throughout this, that Jesus Christ is the one building the church, not man. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. This frightens me because the United States is the biggest mission field in the Western Hemisphere. I don't know if you know that. The biggest mission field in the Western Hemisphere. It is the fifth biggest mission field in all of the world. And so many times I think we have all of our ducks in a row. We're just fine. We need to have a revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to see him for who he is. Do you know that there are men from Europe that are coming over here trying to warn us that we are going to suffer the same fate that Europe did? But they see the same characteristics that happened in Europe, that people are exiting the church like crazy, and they're coming over here to the United States to try and prevent us from making the same mistakes they did. Europeans are coming over saying, if you guys don't change your ways, something bad is going to happen. He goes on in verse 4, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. This passage of scripture, it focuses on God and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to dive too much into it. I don't have the time. But we're going to look into verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from or of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. First, I want us to see that Jesus Christ, the faithful, he is the reliable witness. Don't you love that it says that he's the faithful witness? He's the faithful witness, that this, his word is true. How important is that? That he is actually backing that up. Have you ever seen those seeing eye dogs? Canine companion? And you have them walking around and they're assisting someone who has a need. Did you know there's a thorough process in all of that? If there's one thing that's messed up with that dog, they don't give that dog to the person that's in need because they're afraid that dog will fail. Think how much more faithful Jesus Christ is. Think how faithful his word is, how true it is. When he says that your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. When he says that you will spend eternity with me, you will spend eternity with him. It's important to know that we have a reliable witness, that we have a faithful witness. He's not only a reliable witness, but he's the risen Lord. This next statement, the firstborn of the dead. Don't you love that our Savior isn't dead? Muhammad, dead. Buddha, dead. Joseph Smith, dead. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive today. When Stephen is being stoned and he looks up into heaven and heaven is rolled back, he said, there he is. He's standing at the right hand of God. He is alive and well. And John, in the book of Revelation, sees the risen Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of the dead. Does that mean he was the first one to be raised from the dead? Obviously not. We know of a handful of situations, Old and New Testament, where people were raised from the dead. This more has to do with prominence. That he is deserving. In Colossians 1:18, it says this, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the preeminence. He receives glory because of this, right? Because who else can do it? No one can. No one could raise themselves from the dead. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him glorious. On Thursday, I have to confess, I didn't get much work done because of a Giants game. And there were pastors here who were named Nameless, Josh and Pastor Mike, that were texting me throughout the game. And we were getting excited when the Giants were up. And I went back and I watched the highlights and I saw Buster Posey hit this grand slam. And you see Cincinnati just deflate. They were just defeated. And then when the game was over, They're just bummed out. I mean, they were up 2-0. If you listen to the radio station, everyone had Cincinnati winning. The Giants just have to lose one game, and Cincinnati goes on. Game 5 comes around, Cincinnati loses. There is no hope there. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. There is hope for you and me because we have a Savior who lives today. We have a Savior that died for your sins and is risen again. If he stayed in the grave, we would have no hope. We'd have the same hope as the Cincinnati Reds. None. But we don't put our hope in baseball or men. We put it in the Son of God. We put it in him because he is the one glorious enough to do this. He is the one who's gained victory for us. He not only is the risen Lord, but he is the reigning sovereign. He goes on to say in verse 5, and the ruler of kings on earth. I remember when George Bush was elected, and I heard preacher after preacher after preacher say, we have a Christian president. And everyone was so excited. And then when Obama was elected, everyone was sad and bummed out. The Word of God says here that Jesus is the ruler of the kings of earth, doesn't he? That he's the one. That we could have the worst president that hates Jesus, but we still have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 17, we see the beast and kings coming against the Lamb, and they wage war against Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? They are cut down. And it says, you know why? Because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There is no one greater. This election, does it matter? Yes, it does. We should vote. I'm not saying that. We should vote and put the time in and know who we're voting for. But don't walk around like it's the end of the world. Don't walk around like your Savior has fallen off his throne. Walk around because you are a child of his. He is the reigning sovereign, the ruler of the kings of earth. He's also the redeeming Savior. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood. To him who loves us and has freed us. It's one thing to love someone, it's another thing to free them, right? How glorious is it that he has freed us? We were dead men, and we needed a Savior. We were without hope. Why do we watch the Olympics? Because we stand in awe of them, the people that are there, right? It's the best of the best. I would love to be Usain Bolt and be able to run that fast. Wouldn't you? I mean, the guy is running so fast. He's in the Olympics with the best runners of the world, and he's turning around looking at him like, hey, is there anyone back there? Did I do a false start and I'm already finishing now? And when he crosses that finish line, what does everyone do? They stand and applaud and cheer. They say, wow, there's no one like Bolt. There's no one who is as good as Bolt, who is fast as Bolt. The reason why we should stand and worship God today is because God has loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. We worship that which we cannot do. I cannot run as fast as Usain Bolt. I don't even think I could drive as fast as the man. The reason why we worship God is because we cannot save ourselves. The reason why we praise God is because he is greater and grander than anything we could ever produce. I've seen how good men are. I've seen them at their best. I've seen how they destroy families and ruin jobs. I've seen how they've made a wreck of their lives. And that's the best we have to offer. And because of that, God has made himself known to man. God has made himself known so that we might have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He has not only loved us, but he has freed us from our sins by his blood. And made us a kingdom. He has made us a kingdom today. He is the king, and we are a part of his kingdom. Priest to his God and Father to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7 goes on to say, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes on earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Not only do we have a redeeming Savior, but we have a returning King. Isn't that good to know that he's not leaving us here? I don't want to be stuck here, do you? Not after the week I had. The ladies in the church, they want to close down the office because it was so bad. They don't want to be here anymore. Let's stop answering the phones. Good idea. I think so. I think that's a good idea. Let's do that. We have a returning king. I was talking to a man, got on the conversation of God, found that he believes in God. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says that he believes that God created all things, but then he just walked away from creation. Spun us into orbit. See you later. Good luck. Hope it all works out for you. And I asked him, well, what is he doing right now then? If God did create, what is he doing right now? We get to see what he's doing right now in the book of Revelation, don't we? We get to see Jesus Christ for what he is right now. In the Gospels, we saw him feeding 5,000, coming in on a donkey, dying on the cross. But in the book of Revelation, we see him in a different light. We see him coming back on a white horse. We see him coming back to judge. We see him coming back to bring us home. We see him for who he is right now. And my fear is this. At the end of every single passage of these churches that we're going to be looking at, it says this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to see Jesus Christ risen. John had the privilege of seeing this, and it was amazing. Ephesus, the first church, Josh has been taking this one. They had all the head knowledge, but they didn't have the heart. Smyrna. These guys suffered tribulation, persecution. They were poor. They were slandered. Pergamum, Thyatira. These guys just had some messed up doctrine. They didn't know what they were believing. Sardis, they had a reputation for being alive, but they were really dead. Philadelphia had an open door to the gospel. Laodicea, that's the hot and cold church. But you know what every single one of them was given? At the beginning of all these passages, we see a vision of Jesus Christ. We see a vision of who he is. Santa Rosa Bible Church, you need to see Jesus Christ. You need to see him. How do you see him? You get into his word. You read the word of God. You see him in scripture. Because if you don't, if you neglect that, you're going to be like these churches in 2,000 years from now, if we're still around. We could be like Turkey and have 75 million people and 3,400, 3,500 or so people that believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is building his church. Doesn't need me, doesn't need you. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. At the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, I love this. We see this. Revelation 22:8. If you read the book of Revelation and don't see Jesus Christ, you're probably going to be messed up in the head because there's a lot of stuff in here. You need to see Jesus Christ. And here in Revelation 22:8, he says this, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshipped at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you, and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. And what are the next two words he says? Worship God. That's the meaning of the book of Revelation. Worship God. There is no greater book that displays Jesus Christ than the book of Revelation. If you think it's some messed up book of like C.S. Lewis type proportion with a bunch of different funky stuff all over it, you're not seeing Jesus in it. Look for Jesus Christ in this book. As we come and study these seven churches, see Jesus Christ. See Jesus Christ. And worship God. Let me pray. God, I thank you and love you for who you are. I thank you that you are building your church. You don't need me. God, I pray as we continue on in this passage of Revelation, God, that you would show us your Son, that we would see him clearly, that we would see that you showed him to these churches, they neglected it, and now, God, we see the result of it. We thank you for Santa Rosa Bible Church. We pray that we would see your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our purpose is to lift up the Lord by living out the Word, loving one another, and leading others to Christ. Be sure to visit us on the web at www.srbible.org or come visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road, Santa Rosa, California, 95409. You can also give us a call at 707-538-2385.